Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves
of memory. Oh, what joy,
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to give us the knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word, Father, and the wisdom to use it. And help us to receive the truth of this your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And we're asking this in Jesus' name, giving him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending him to make a way for us to have eternal life. In that sweet, precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. As we continue on here now, tonight, we're going to be in chapter 3 of Romans. Romans chapter 3. We're going to be getting into a lot of things going through the New Testament portion of the Bible that in today's world is highly controversial, but should not be. It's controversial because man has made parts of it to fit what he wanted, not what God wanted and not what God said. In every word of this Bible is truth, because it is all from God. Now, we know that back in the apostles' days, they had minds of their own, yes. They had opinions, yes. And we have seen so far, just coming through the book of Acts and through the first two chapters of Romans, where what they had in their mind, and would even stand up and declare, they found out it wasn't so and would not work. Peter told Jesus, I'm willing to even go and die with you. But the word tells us that Jesus told him, no, this night before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice, three times. Oh, no. That was his last answer to God. Then you know, no. I'm willing to die for you. But what happened? He denied him three times that night. Because you see, the Lord God knows what we need. We didn't know, but he does. And that's what's in this book, this Holy Bible. And it was recorded here by the Holy Spirit speaking through these men. And not what they wanted, but what the Lord wanted. And we're told it is. We're also told it's a living word, and it's also a word of death. It's living word if we live it, and if we use it for the good and the glory of Almighty God. But it's death when we don't. It's that separation from Almighty God when we don't live it. Now, getting in here to verse 1, chapter 3, what advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, we know that basically everywhere Paul went to the Gentile people, he had a group of Jews going behind him, telling them that they couldn't be saved without being circumcised. Yet the Lord, when he established his church, he said, no, they don't have to be. Most even today do circumcise their male children. But it's done for cleanliness, health-wise, not for religious purpose. If it was done for religious purpose, we'd all still be under the law. Verse 2, much every way chiefly, because that unto them were committed the articles of God. The articles of God, that refers to the words of the Old Testament, which Paul, like other New Testament writers, and even Jesus himself, regarded as divinely inspired. And we know that a lot of it was. All of it is recorded, yes. Now, because you see, in the Old Testament, when something is spoken, it's spoken with both sides, because they didn't have what you and I have. But the prophecies from the prophets, when we go back and study those, we have seen that every one of them that had been prophesied for that day and up to the time of Jesus had been fulfilled and had taken place. Even his crucifixion and death and his resurrection had all been prophesied hundreds of years before. Isaiah had a good prophecy of it in chapter 53. Right at 400 years before Jesus was born. So we have no excuse of saying, well, it don't work. Because we see that it does. Now three. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, it don't make the faith of God without effect. But it makes them without effect. Because without faith, we can't please God. We've got to stand in faith in order to please God and to be able to receive anything from Him. Now, four. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Another warning there. Let God be true and every man a liar. Watch how you stand when it comes to this holy word of Almighty God. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. He said, I'm speaking here as a man. Because you see, that don't work. Our unrighteousness does not bring righteousness. Of God. But it will, if we don't get forgiveness for it, it will bring judgment upon you and I. Verse 6 tells us that, even a little plainer than I just got through, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Letting us know. No. Our unrighteousness is not going to bring the righteousness of God. Now. 7. For if the truth of God has more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? It's my life. Would bring glory. Then why am I also judged as a sinner? You see, it just don't work. Now, 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Because you see, that exactly is what will happen. When we believe, we can do evil, and that will bring good. We then are standing in damnation. And that is just because we have been warned time after time after time by God Almighty. Now, 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Because it won't work. God's word here. You see, that wasn't mine. That was God's word. Whose damnation is just. 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. We are all, Jews and Gentiles, we are all born under sin. Now, as a small child, and we leave this life, we're going to go home to be with him. But once we become of that age of accountability, from then on, we have to answer for the way we choose to live our lives. And it can mean either life eternal or life in hell and a lake of fire. Now, Jan goes on to tell us here, says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he forgives our sins and comes to live within us, and the Holy Spirit comes to fulfill us and live within us also. Now, verse 11, you see, Paul there in 10, and through a few other verses to go along with it, is quoting the scripture where he is proving the universal guilt, and he's quoting scripture, not Paul, is the judge. You see, because this word is also Christ. We'll be getting into that on down the road. But now, 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Think about that for a moment. 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He's letting us know quite a bit right there, isn't he? And most of it is because we have no fear of God, and we believe we can just go on living the way we want to live, regardless of how that is. 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. We're getting that stage here in our land quickly, aren't we? Growing weaker and weaker and walking further away from God and his word every day instead of growing closer. But I do have news for you. This revival that is talked about in the last days has started, and we are going to see things that is beyond most of mankind's belief. Think about it. You found out there in 19 that the world may become guilty before God. And we're getting pretty close. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And that is why he came to this earth to become that living sacrifice, take on all that pain, and go to the cross, not with his sin, but with yours and my sins, to make a way that we could make heaven our home. And yet, while we are still here on this earth, we could become a child of the living God and perform work for him that needs to still be done and help to bring in the harvest that is to be gathered in. Now, he's told us, he tells us there in 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So let's get away from anything that is associated that way and come under grace through the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our trust and faith in him. And put on that infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. To where we can stand up and do the work that Jesus was doing while he was here on this earth. Because you see, he needs us that are willing to run the race to the end, to be used to accomplish the things that God will ask. He tells you to go and lay hands on someone. Don't ask why or nothing else. Just go. And when you do what he tells you to do, and you say what he tells you to say, you're going to find out that the work is done. 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, they're witnesses to all of this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. There is no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you see, he's born into this earth with that sinful nature. And yes, as you was growing, until you reach the age of accountability, God wasn't holding bad things you were doing against you. And if you left this life, you'd go on to be with him. That's why he said, suffer little children to come unto me. And he tells you and I that we have to be as a child in order to make heaven our home. Why? Because you see, that child depends upon its parents, its mother, and its dad to take care of it and to see that it has what they need. And we are the same way. When we join the family of Almighty God, we have to depend upon him for what we need, and he will take care of us. Now, John 4, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everything has to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It says it all right there. Listen to it. Now, 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, that's the only way we've got is in Jesus. Without going to him and repenting of our sins, because we've all had sins in the past, and being forgiven for them by him, and bringing him into our lives to live in us and us in him, and then seeking and having the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to come and live in us also. Because he is the one that will bring more knowledge, more wisdom, and the tools to do the work that God wants of each of us to do. 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works nay, but by the law of faith? Think about it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Because we're not under the law. We, if we are children of God, are under grace, which is his gift. You can't work for it. People are out here in place after place believing, oh, I've got to do good works in order to make to be saved. They've got it just backwards. We do the good works because we are saved. Because doing them good works won't save you. Yes, it's good to do them, but that's not where your salvation is going to come from. 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. He is the same God. The Jews don't have one and us another. When we become that child of God, we are of his family and there is no difference. We read that earlier. 31, and then we'll be closing because we're going to be through chapter 3 and chapter 4. It's another one that's got quite a bit in it. It's not a long chapter, but it's got quite a bit in it. Now, 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. See, we can't make that law void through faith. Jesus fulfilled that law. And it says, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. He fulfilled it. And that's why you and I cannot live under the law. It has been fulfilled. And we, as born-again children of God, no longer live under sin. We now live under grace and righteousness by the mercy and the love of Almighty God. And I'm going to leave you there with that, let you think about it. And I'll be praying tonight that God will keep you through the night and bring us all together again come morning and back into his word. Father, we praise you. Praise thy holy name. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for all of the good things we have. And we thank you for taking care of all of our needs, Father. You keep your word with us and for us. Your word we know is true. Let us never walk free of it, nor walk astray of it, but that we can continue looking at it and studying it, putting it within our heart, so that the Holy Spirit can reach in that heart to bring it out, so that others can be helped to walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Help us, Father, to never go contrary against your word, but always standing on it in truth and in the fullness of it. Father, our families, those in this ministry, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, and myself, Father, we all have family members that are walking in darkness. Holy Spirit, work within our families. Bring them about so, Father, that they'll not be lost, but they'll be saved and make heaven their home. And Father, we pray for the sick, Father, that they will reach out and accept the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, take care of each of us through this night. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. And see to our needs, Father. And bring us back together again some morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good night, all. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night now.